What is the triple play?
The triple play is phone, internet, and cable.
Yeah,
it's all these years, I thought it was a line drive to shortstop. Throw to second, throw to first, get the...
6-4-3.
Yeah, all the time.
But that's a double play.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls.
I'm tweeting that puppy.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to Sell or Die. I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
My name is Jeffrey Gittimer. I have authored and written The Little Red Book of Selling, and this is Sell or Die, a show where, a podcast where, a lesson where you, the salesperson, can learn more to earn more.
Oh, yeah.
And we are joined today by the great Michael Silverman, who not only is a, I would say, an incredibly famous person in Livingston, New Jersey, because he happens to be the mayor of Livingston, New Jersey, but he also hawks insurance. I mean, I'm sorry.
Hawks, I don't know. That's like
he provides people with the protection that insurance provides.
But he's not just any insurance guy.
That's correct.
He's like the number one insurance guy, according to us, in the nation.
Oh, now you're talking.
Third generation family business.
Does that include Texas? And these days,
not according to Texas.
Right.
Number one insurance guy in our minds. He's our insurance guy.
Right.
And friend. Yeah. And just a total trusted advisor. And it's an honor and a pleasure to have you on our show.
So we have a topic today that I want to make certain people understand. Number one, what it means to the world, and then what it means to the sales world.
Let's do it.
And we're going to go deep into this because most salespeople do not understand that it is the root of their attitude, which is the root of their foundation for success. And the word is resilience. How do you react, respond, and recover from either what is said to you or what is done to you? Because in your business, Michael, you're in the God forbid business.
Partially.
God forbid you fall down the steps, God forbid your house catches on fire, God forbid you're in an automobile accident. It's a God forbid business.
Well, why do you say partially?
Because there are plenty of people who look at various types of insurance, whether it be life insurance, as a living asset, something that you are using while you're alive. But
I got you.
The majority of the insurance products are, in your phrasing, God forbid.
Okay, fair enough.
And so the challenge that you have is people call you at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, Mary died or Bob died. People call you in the middle of the night and say, our house is on fire, or our house was on fire. The fire department's on their way over here. I've been in an automobile accident. I mean, you get the shit calls of the world, correct?
Yes, we absolutely do. At all hours of the day.
Yeah.
Your personal cell phone?
Sometimes, yes. Yeah. Sometimes people have my house phone.
Wow.
They'll call
you still have a house phone?
We still have a house phone. In certain areas of New Jersey, to get rid of your house phone, it actually costs more.
Oh yeah,
on your
we
cable
had that
bill
issue when we were in Jersey City.
Because of the triple play.
Yeah, we had that issue.
What is the triple play?
The triple play is phone, internet, and cable.
Yeah,
it's all these years I thought it was a line drive to shortstop. Throw to second, throw to first, get the
6-4-3.
Yeah, all the time.
But that's a double play.
No.
If it's
a line drive, and there's runners on base, and they go with a pitch. It's a triple play.
It can be. Doesn't happen often.
I'm just telling you.
All right,
you.
So back to your home phone.
But people call all hours of the night. If there's a disaster, I hope they would call. Yeah. I want to be one of their top 2-3 phone calls.
I remember we were meeting once over a networking breakfast, and it started at like 7 a.m., and you sent me a text like, I won't be there this morning. Something came up. And I'm thinking like, what's coming up? No offense. At 7 a.m., like, someone more important than me to meet with? Like, what's really going on? And then the follow-up message is, one of my client's warehouses had a fire. I left my house at 4 in the morning to get there.
I'm on my way to Long Island to see them and be with them and help them through the process.
Smart move. Yeah. I think that as an insurance person, your second obligation is to sell insurance. your first obligation is to be there when, God forbid, happens.
That's correct. The number one thing that we offer is hand-holding service when there's a problem.
Okay.
Anybody can sell insurance.
Or an incident, right.
Right. Anybody can sell insurance. Anybody can take a client's money. Our number one job is to be the advisor when there's a problem.
So
and let's be available.
Let's go to our topic.
Why do most insurance salespeople not think of it like that?
Most salespeople are in it for themselves and not in it for the greater good of their clientele.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it as I will make money. There's no question. I will be able to provide for my family if I provide for and with others.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
You know, a lot of people have a give versus get attitude. That's what you want. If I give enough into the universe, I'll get mine. Yeah. There's no mm-hmm. question.
So let's talk about our topic.
All right, let's do it.
When someone calls and tells you bad news, horrible news, you have to be able to react, respond, and then recover from what happened. But they have a much more serious issue. Someone has passed on. Something burnt down. Memories can't be replaced. An automobile accident. Someone gets injured. That's real resilience. That's react, respond, and recover from what happened to you. And sometimes it's physical and mental. Sometimes it's only mental. That's the safety part. You know, thank God nothing else happened. Only your house burnt down. What do you mean only my house burnt down?
No one was hurt.
Yeah.
Right.
Right, exactly. No one was hurt. But the resilience level of that, and I want you to think about this. If you're in the audience right now and you're in sales and you're thinking, what the hell does this have to do with me? I'm going to challenge you that when someone says no to you, that's the same as your house burning down if your mortgage payment is due.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially if it's the end of the month.
Right.
And he's you're
the one
just
guy.
A little bit there towards your quota. And that's the one sale that, breaks
that
it or
happens.
Makes it.
Right. So what is your resilience factor? How do you react to this? Because, Michael, you have seen it from both sides. You're the resilience factor from the insurance provider, but they are the resilience on the, oh, my gosh, this happened to me.
For me, when I'm in the field and it's the end of the month and I need to hit my numbers or want to hit certain numbers, that's a problem because then I'm not there for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I need to be with a client, with a prospect. My number one job is to make sure that they're protected. It doesn't matter what we're doing or how we're doing it. It's why we're doing it. We're having a conversation about, Jeffrey, as you said, God forbid events.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my job with them to walk through the God forbid events before they happen so that they know what are the potential problems,
mm-hmm.
what are the potential events that we can protect against. We can't protect against everything. We can't. You said it before when you said sentimentality. We cannot insure against that.
Mm-hmm.
We can insure against the money that is lost. But a diamond ring, a family portrait that burns, we can't replace the emotions. We're there to hug and hold and make sure that people understand that there are dollars coming their way. But that's emotions. That's us being a human being, not a salesperson.
The difference that I'm seeing from what you're saying is it's not about selling. It's about helping.
It's about advising. It's about helping. It's about comforting.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being a friend and an advisor at the same time.
And so do you say, well, the adjuster's coming, but they're not really on your side?
Well, no. No. There is a thought out there that insurance companies don't want to pay claims. I don't agree with that. Insurance companies are in the business to pay claims.
Mm-hmm.
They just want to pay them properly as per the policy. Now, it's my job to help advise the client how to sell the claim
mm-hmm.
of what happened
mm-hmm.
so that it's done properly and legally
yeah.
and within the policy.
Yeah.
So your business is third generation family business, which is pretty cool, by the way.
Thank you.
Yes. This is your what year in business?
Our 92nd.
Wow.
Wow, that's totally cool. So you're going to be hanging around when the business is 100.
Hope so, yes.
That's so
that
cool.
That is freaking phenomenal.
It is something special.
Sell it 101. or at least get golden handcuffs until 100.
I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, the feeling within our organization is really about family, because that's what it is. You know, our tagline is our family protecting your family since 1926. It's not just a tagline. It's exactly how we feel, because every client becomes part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a problem at 2 o'clock in the morning, my cell phone rings, I get up.
Mm-hmm.
No one likes the 2 o'clock phone call. No one ever wants that. But it happens.
Well, there's a rumor out there you wake up at 3 anyway, so it's only like an hour early. No big deal.
Rumors are rumors, and not every rumor can be dispelled.
Our tagline is not the same. I think it's we help large companies with their training budgets until there's none left.
Oh, man.
So, okay. I want to know how good are you at calming people down who've lost their possessions or a loved one?
Well, I've been through it so many times.
Mm-hmm.
And one stands out in particular. It was back a number of years ago. It was a house fire actually in my neighborhood.
Wow.
Directly across the street from my house.
Oh,
wow.
Man.
I knew the family for years. As a matter of fact, I grew up with the husband. We played ball together.
Mm-hmm.
Coincidence that we moved back into the neighborhood and we lived near each other. Their house, there was an electrical fire. House burned to the ground in an hour and 45 minutes.
What's an intellectual fire?
An electrical fire.
Oh, electrical fire, I was going to say.
An electrical fire.
Their smart house caught on fire.
Yeah.
Well, that's a different conversation.
Got it.
Because those are issues that are happening today with a lot of the technology that is built into homes.
What do? Does it catch on fire and it does?
Yes.
Got it. Really?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So this family had an electrical fire.
Okay. Got it.
And very simply, we had to sit with them and walk them through the process of what do we do now, to the tune that where do they live? They lost everything that they owned.
Mm-hmm.
They had three young boys. The boys had to go to school. This happened the 1st of September. It was 2009. School hadn't started yet. So what's on most people's dining room tables 3 days before school starts? Brand new backpacks, brand new this, everything ready to school.
All the school supplies.
We sent the family to Target. Just start buying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your receipts. The next morning, we had the insurance company folks out, and very simply, because the right insurance was in place, they were given a check for a few $100,000 just to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have to talk about where they're going to live. Frequently, immediately after you live with family, you live with friends for a short period of time, but that can't live forever because rebuilding a house, as many people know, takes a long time. It can take up to a year.
And your family's welcome wears out after about
40
five
minutes.
Days, right?
With three young boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. 20 minutes. Okay.
So very simply, we were able to put them into a condo in the same town because the kids had to go to school. The family works in the area. That's an expensive proposition.
Did their insurance cover the
100%. They were not out of pocket a dime. They lived there for a year and a half.
Wow.
Wow.
And that's something that we counseled them on when we wrote the policies. Mm-hmm. Now, this fire started September 1st. We only started writing their insurance in May. We reviewed their insurance and found many holes. And to this day, he still thanks me.
I'm sure.
Because the differential in what his coverage was versus what we brought it to made a difference in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah, of course.
Forever.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, you asked, how do we go about
They are the definition of grateful.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
They are raving fans.
Yeah.
You know, very simply, you asked about comforting. It was just about being there.
Yeah.
Having been through it with others, we knew what the next steps were going to be. How can they? They didn't know what they didn't know.
But that kind of experience turns them into a walking testimonial and referral creator for you, for
they're
life.
They're climbing, you know. So they're,
for life.
They're sitting on a couch and they're talking with another couple, friends of theirs, and they're going, you know, we just moved into this house. I wonder where we should get insurance. Before they can even say the word insurance, they say your name.
You happen to be correct, and it does happen, thankfully, from these people all the time. When they had their welcome back housewarming party, it was very emotional for a lot of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I walked in, it was the parting of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was special.
I have the chills.
I do every time I tell the story. The interesting part about this claim, this disaster for this family, is the husband was in Atlanta on business when the fire started and could not get back for whatever reason, airlines, et cetera. We told him to charter a plane from Atlanta Fulton County Stadium Airport to Morristown, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
It was $9,800.
Yep.
The One insurance way. Company paid for it.
Oh, cool.
Boom.
These kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Little issues going on. Yes.
Had he ever flown private before?
Yes, he had. That's how he knew how to go do it. Because since then, we've had a number of people say, how do you fly private?
Yeah, let me tell you what. You call Amex, you can call Amex, and they'll get your plane.
It's pretty easy. That's now exactly how on he did Google, it. Yeah. But
Back in 2009, that didn't happen.
I'm sure, yeah.
I had a situation where I really shouldn't tell stories like this, but Chicago is closed down because of a thunderstorm. Fly into Indianapolis and have to get to Sioux City, Iowa or something. And plane canceled. I have a seminar the next day. So I call Amex and plane will be there in 2 hours. And so what do I do for the 2 hours? I took a cab into the city and had a steak at San Elmo's. Literally got back to the airport. Plane's waiting.
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But that's service. That's service, yeah. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't have to be insurance. It doesn't have to be sales coaching. It doesn't have to – it's whatever it is. Do what you do. Do it well. Do it with passion, and it will come across.
But you have to do in a way that doesn't just satisfy you, but it ingratiates you to that customer.
It's not it wasn't about me.
Listen, you could have said, the adjuster will be here in 2 days. It normally takes them a couple of days to get out of here. You'll just have to be patient. I think your policy covers a hotel, so you can check into the Holiday Inn. That wasn't what you did.
Well, a lot of people.
Wait a second. That wasn't what you did, was it?
No.
What'd you do?
I held their hand. Mm-hmm. I took them to Target. We started the process. We got them to the in-laws' house for a few days. We take them through the process that we know works.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we know? Because we're 92 years old of doing this.
Not you.
I look good though, don't I?
Yeah, for 92.
I look fabulous for 92.
You don't look a day over 91. People in Charlotte, North Carolina, or the surrounding 1,000-mile radius, I need your help. I'm going to be doing two public seminars here in Charlotte. June the 14th, a leadership seminar, a sales leadership seminar. And June the 15th, a public sales mastery seminar, and you're invited. All you have to do is buy a ticket and show up. I'm going to be talking about things that will take you through this year and the next decade, and what you have to do to maintain your leadership position, set the standard, and make the money that you're hoping to earn. Go to cgittimer.com, cgittimer.com/Charlotte.
# Gittimer is back.
It's going to be a hootenanny.
# Gittimer is hootenanny.
# I'm going to rock your sales world.
A lot of people think, oh, I can just buy that on the internet, and don't realize that if something actually happens, they're going to want their handheld. They're going to want the cell phone number of their broker.
Yeah, I think
they're
if you
want to be able to get help.
The John Ruskin quote is, you're a victim. If you buy the wrong thing, then you're their natural prey.
Mm.
You know, yes. I can get you cheap insurance. I don't want cheap insurance.
Well,
I don't want cheap
insurance. He's going to raise our rate.
Oh, I want cheap insurance.
It's really not. It's not about premium.
Right.
It can't be about premium.
It's about coverage.
It has to be about coverage first. Yeah. Now, I understand not everyone can afford the grandiose policies and with every bell and every whistle.
Right.
But that's a conversation.
Right.
Here's the top of the line. Let's work it down so that we can fit it into your budget. But we have a goal over time to get to the best of the best.
And if I'm in an automobile accident, don't save me a dollar a month and not have me a rental car.
Right.
Well, that's also the conversation we have with people about saving premium dollars. Oh, I have a second house somewhere else, which is – it's less expensive to insure it there than is my primary house, which may be in a city somewhere. We have the conversation. Yes, it will be less expensive. It's not right.
Mm.
And when there's a major claim, I'm not talking about a $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 fenderman, hurt somebody in an automobile accident. Unfortunately, these things happen. The insurance companies, rightfully so, will do an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And they may or may not pay a claim. That's not when you want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
When it's claim time, we want the insurance company to say, where should we send the check?
Right. That's exactly what you want to say. Yeah. And then you give them your address.
Quickly.
All right. I want to switch gears for a minute. Being a third generation family business, you have a lot of clients who have children who are now of age to buy from you. How do you ensure that you maintain?
Is that a pun?
I'm not being punny. Come on.
Come on.
How do you ensure that you maintain the right relationship so that you can get that business?
It starts in a number of different ways, but number one, it's my relationship with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kids have seen me, heard of me, met me long before they're ready for their own insurance.
But you have to put yourself in a position where you have lunch with them or breakfast with them at some point.
Absolutely.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely. And as silly as an email on the 20-year-old's birthday.
Yeah.
Just saying, or a text, happy birthday, have a great day. He knows me as his dad's insurance guy.
Yeah.
And that's perfectly fine.
Yes, I agree.
And somewhere down the line, someone's going to, oh, you need an engagement ring to be insured. You need an apartment to be insured. Oh, my dad's got a guy. Let me call my dad's guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one way.
Yeah, your dad's guy. That's a good
It's way all to about describe relationships.
I'm your dad's guy.
Right. It's all about relationships. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah.
My own children are of age where they have insurance. I knew their dad's guy, so we were able to take care of them. and very simply, their friends know what their father does for a living. So they've called me. And it's been very interesting. I've gotten clients from the kids. I've gotten their parents to call me. And I never met the parents before.
How'd you do that?
You know, you take care of someone. You counsel, you teach. A 22, 23, 24-year-old young man or young woman needs a simple apartment policy. Now, you're not talking about a lot of money in premium. Obviously, then you're not talking about a lot of money in commission for any salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where that young person's going to grow to and who they know. So I have one particular client, young guy, was referred to me by my daughter's boyfriend, and he was great. We went out. We had a beer. We talked about insurance. He bought a policy. Wonderful. His small apartment in New York City is now properly insured. He said, you should talk to my dad. I said, that's wonderful. Thank you so much. Why don't you set up a referral? He did. He did. And I was surprised he actually did it.
Yeah, yeah.
His dad is this great guy, has this tremendous business. He's one of my larger clients today.
Wow.
Simply because we had conversations.
A lot of salespeople, if they know the deal is that small, how big was that policy?
$300 a year in premium.
Ooh. So your commission is like nothing.
Correct.
So would not have taken the time to sit down with the person, inform them. They might have just sent an email and said, here's what you need by. What?
Michael is human.
I'm a father.
Yeah.
I understood what the young man wanted, needed. He may not have wanted to hang out with me getting a beer. I respect that completely.
Yeah, because I don't.
I understand that. But you know what it was? He learned something.
Mm-hmm.
It was an hour. We sat down. He learned about what the policy would and wouldn't cover for him if there was a claim.
But that's such a major lesson not to prejudge anyone.
Not just prejudge,
but not be giving when someone asks you to give. You can't say, I don't have time. And I was raised in a family of givers.
Yep.
And raised in a family of givers don't measure-ers. Because my dad would always put deals together, almost like we did today.
Right.
I mean, you could feel
that. That was crazy.
You could feel that deal happening. Okay. Yeah. So the challenge that you have then is, what's in your heart, not what's in your wallet. You know, this kid, I don't think you went out to the bar going, you know, probably going to be a $300 policy. I'm probably going to spend $50 in beers. It's not going to be a good day for me. But you don't care about the day. You care about the life.
It's the long-term relationship.
That's the word. It's the relationship.
Yeah.
Because this young man will eventually get engaged.
Oh, sure.
He will eventually buy an apartment, buy a house, buy and need and want life insurance, disability insurance, and have friends.
Oh, I just realized something. You did Wait. That to me.
Okay.
No, really.
Really?
It just dawned on me. Like, I talked to Michael. I said, I have a policy, but I have questions about it. I don't get it at all. He said, let's go for drinks. Let's go for dinner. Let's talk about it. And I said, okay.
And that was your policy that you had long before you met me.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So wow. I got a buddy here in Charlotte.
Well done.
Thank you.
Who wanted to buy a house and in Dilworth, where we live. And he calls a real estate agent and says, I'm looking to buy a house in Dilworth. And the guy was local to Dilworth. And the real estate agent said, do you have a house for sale?
Ugh.
And my buddy hung up on him.
Rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hung up.
Mm-hmm.
That was four houses ago.
Right.
And 10 friends ago.
Absolutely. Oof. Absolutely.
That was at least a $250,000 commission hang up by an idiot.
And think about how many friends he told not to use guy.
Absolutely.
So I have disdain for people who, quote, qualify the customer. Don't qualify anybody. Just like them. That's your tip of the day. Don't qualify. I don't care what any sales expert says. Wasting your time. It's all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
You like people and let them like you back, and you have a possibility of building a relationship. If you qualify them, you're out because they can smell that you're after their wallet.
Well, that's what it is. You're after their money.
Yeah.
And I was taught very early on in my career, no policy is too small. No client is too small because you don't know
right.
who they know and you don't know where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that there's a very famous story about a leasing company that had some guy walks in and he wants to buy a computer lease for $80,000 and the kid says, I'm sorry, Mr. Gates, our minimum is $100,000. So that guy is now a waiter at Shoney's.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But those are things that happen literally daily mm-hmm. of salespeople making the acute mistake of trying to be smarter than the customer, better than the customer, and condescending
to
the customer.
Or just simply greedy.
There are plenty of insurance agencies that I know of that will not work on a client and their insurance needs unless they anticipate the commission level of all policies being over a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
I know other insurance agents that will write the insurance but will not commission the producer
Ooh.
Unless the commission is over a certain amount.
Oh, well. Yeah, I'll take the scraps.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
I don't need to write all the big ones. A lot of little ones make a big one.
Yeah.
You never know who their next door neighbor is.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Or in your case, their father.
Or their friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or both their friends.
Right.
All right. This has been great. Michael, where can people
reach out to you, find you,
learn more?
So our main office is in New York City. Our phone number is 212-248. You like that. 4772. And more importantly, we're on the website of GloronAgency.com.
And we'll put that in the show notes.
We'll put it in the notes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there an email they can reach out to?
info@GloronAgency.com.
Cool.
Easy.
Hey, thank you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for coming all the way from New Jersey.
Thank you.
I know it's treacherous territory down here in Charlotte, but we certainly appreciate the in-person visit, and you're invited back anytime you want, except for the rest of the year.
Jeffrey, he came wearing an Eagles tie.
Oh, that's true.
Uh-oh. Was that a secret?
That wasn't a secret. That was just being nice.
Yeah. Cheers, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Diehards, thank you for listening to Sell or Die. If you like what you heard, make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast. Give it a star on Overcast and tell a friend.
Tell both your friends, just don't tell your competition. You can follow me on Twitter at Gittimer and Jen at Sales in Any Minute.
Send your sales questions to sellordie@gittimer.com. We'll be back next week with Motivation Monday and another amazing guest.
Until then, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And we're reminding you to get out there and sell or die.
Even if your ass falls off.
Sell or diehards, attention. If you love the show, make sure you have subscribed to the show.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes and give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend, tell both your friends about the best sales podcast on the planet.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true seller diehard, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Merci beaucoup.